Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, with endless mercy, you receive the prayers of all who call upon you. By your Spirit, show us the things we ought to do, and give us the grace and power to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated. You folks will be going out for Sunday school, and you won't hear this reading, but I want one. We just prayed, Lord, show us the things we ought to do. And one of the things that it says you ought to do, you ought to share your bread with the hungry, bring the homeless poor into your house. When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Let your light shine so that other people can see your light. But the thing about feeding the hungry, that's a job for us. That's when we got baptized, we got invited to be a part of God's family, to live as the beloved children of God. And so we're responsible for all of the people in the world. We have to help them. If we see people in need, we have to help them. One of the ways that we can help the poor, hungry people is to give money or food to places that hand it out to people in need. So we're going to collect some money, but we're going to do it in a fun way. So who's for the Falcons? Come on up, Mr. Falcon. Who's for the Falcons? Put your hand up if you're for the Falcons. Okay, put your hands down. Oh, did I see hands up here? Who's for the Falcons? No hands went up. Who's for the Patriots?
Yeah!
Oh, there's some Patriot fans. All right, so there's Patriot fans. Come on up. Who could care less? Hold your money or your envelope up, or your food, and you guys in the children sitting here, I want you to go out and ask them, just take one at a time, don't collect more. Find out where they want it to go. Do they want it to go into the Falcon pot? Do they want it to go into the Falcon pot or the Patriots pot or the I don't care pot? So ask them where they want your money, and you go get it, then bring it back and put it in here. And we're going to do this as fast as we can.
Where's the I don't care pot?
The I don't care pot, right up here. Ben, stand right over here. Okay. Okay. So go. People are holding up envelopes. Go get them. Go get those envelopes from them. Or money. Okay, give it to the kids. Tell them what pot. Which one is yours? Patriots over here. After the service is over, I'm going to spend time with the three boys here collecting our confirmation class. So we will carefully go through that, count the ballots, and we will make a huge announcement before the game starts. So you'll know who you should root for during the game, because whoever's pot is bigger will be the winner of the game today. I time for you to go to Sunday school. So thank you very much for your work today. Great. Okay.
Does the popular vote win?
Isaiah, shout out. Do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interests on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindication shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 112 responsively. Hallelujah! Happy are those who fear the Lord and have great delight in God's commandments.
Their justice
will be in their house, and their righteousness will last forever.
Light that shines in the darkness for the upright.
It is good for them to be generous in lending and to manage their affairs with justice.
For they will
not be afraid of any evil rumors. Their heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord.
Their heart is established and will not shrink until they see
freely to the poor, and their righteousness stands fast forever. They will hold up their head with honor.
Glory to God.
A reading from 1 Corinthians. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish. But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human, except the human spirit that is within? So also, no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
According to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "You are the light, you are the salt of the earth." But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until it is all accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Man found an eagle's egg, and he put that egg into the nest of a prairie chicken. And the eaglet hatched with that brood of chicks, and he grew up with them. All his life, he was thinking that he was a prairie chicken. And he did what other prairie chickens did. He scratched the earth for looking for bugs and for seeds to eat. He flapped his wings and flew an inch or two off the ground. He acted like a prairie chicken, and he learned to live like a prairie chicken. Years passed. The eagle grew very old. And one day, he looked up and he saw in the cloudless sky, almost without a beat of the wing, an eagle, a magnificent bird. And he turned to his, what would you call it, chickmate? And he said to this other prairie chicken, "Look at that. What is that?" And the other prairie chicken said, "Oh, that's the eagle, the most magnificent of all birds. Forget about it. You could never be like that." So the eagle, thinking he was a prairie chicken, never gave it a second thought. He died thinking he was a prairie chicken. I was reminded of that story. I've probably told it before. But when I read this gospel from Matthew, this Sermon on the Mount, it reminded me of that story. Now, last week we had the reading from the Beatitudes, the first part of this Sermon on the Mount. And we heard Jesus talking about who's in the reign of kingdom, the kingdom of God, that upside down kingdom where the poor are blessed, where the mourning are blessed, where those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness are blessed. That upside down kingdom that doesn't look like the world looks at things different. And today we hear a little bit more about that kingdom, about Jesus saying, this is how you live in that kingdom. These are the values that are incarnate in us, that are built into us. Just as God blesses the poor in spirit and those who are mourning because God chooses to, so God simply chooses to create us and commission us to be salt and light for the world. By grace, God chooses us. But did you notice what Jesus does here? He doesn't give the disciples instructions on how to become salt and light. Rather, he just plain tells them, you are salt of the earth. You are light of the world. He's telling us that too. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He doesn't say that we are little lights that we should let shine in the world. Rather, he says you are the light. You are the salt. This proclamation is all promise, is all declaration, is all gospel. This is who we are. But there's a commission here, not a command. Be the salt. Be the light. It's a commission. It commissions us to be the salt and light, to be the people that we are called to be. We are not prairie chickens. We are eagles. We don't try to become an eagle. We are an eagle. It's just who we are. We are the salt and the light. We're commissioned to season and preserve like salt does, the world. To let our light shine so that others can see that light and glorify God. Jesus isn't saying, you should be the salt of the earth. You should be the light to the world. Jesus isn't saying, you have to be, or you better be. Jesus is saying, you are. You already are. Even if you don't know it, you are. Even if you once knew it and then you forgot about it, you are. Even if you are having a hard time believing that you are the salt of the earth, that you are the light of the world, you are. The truth is, it's a lot more complicated for us to actually be the salt of the earth and the light of the world than it is for us to try to become the light and the salt. We like to turn our Christianity into a morality and to earn our status, to earn our salt status, to earn our brightness. We like to work on it and say, this is what I'm doing. I'm doing this. Jesus is saying, you don't have to do it. I've already done it. You are the salt. Now live like it. But we like to be in control. We like to hold on to it. We like to decide that we are the salt or the light. But being that involves giving ourselves away completely. True salt, salt that has not lost its flavor, disappears into the food that it is flavoring, the food that it is making more tasty. Now, if you had your eggs this morning scrambled and you put a tablespoon of salt, or a teaspoon of salt, better for you, put a teaspoon of salt in the eggs as you were beating the eggs, that salt disappears and goes everywhere. If you took that teaspoon of salt and put it on one spoonful, your first bite of the egg, what would you taste? Just the salt, and it would not be good. Salt, in order to do what we want it to do, flavor, we need to spread it out and to make it disappear. True disciples of Jesus are salt of the earth by disappearing into humble service. The world salted by humble service can indeed be a savor. So too, light that is not blocked by some obstruction can spread out like self-giving service of the followers of Jesus. Life like that in a so lit up world is a world of freedom and brightness. You know, this really matters. It really matters that we know ourselves as the salt and the light. It seems to me that if ever there was a time when we needed to be blessed with these gifts of salt and light, it's right now. You don't have to look far to see that need. Just listen to the news. Read some social media pages. There's a great sense of unrest in our world. dis-ease in our world. There's strong divisions that are becoming even more strong in our country and in our world. That's why we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded that we are salt. We are light for the world. While we don't all agree on exactly how we should be salt and light, or what that looks like, and that's okay. We probably do agree that most of us are hesitant about giving ourselves away quite so completely, dissolving or dissipating our light quite as completely as Jesus is calling us to be. We like to hold back a little. We like to keep control. We like to gather with like-minded people so that we can pat one another on the back for being so salty or being so bright, without the effort of salting or lighting anything beyond our own door. Too often, we hide our light, or at least we try to contain the glow, as if we're afraid of letting it shine further might make it less bright in our own place. It's as if we believe that there are some corners of God's world that are completely unworthy of the brightness that they could know if we would let our light be placed on a lampstand rather than in the security of a bushel basket. The truth is, to be salt and light, to be used by God as God intends, is to dissolve, to dissipate, to flavor, to enlighten. There's no partial dissipation. There's no limited light brightness. To be salt and light is giving it all away. Or we could say dying. Dying to control. Dying to security. Dying to self. And that's the only route to salvation, to resurrection. We heard Paul's proclamation this morning. He said to the Corinthians, and he says to us, that he will know nothing except Jesus Christ and Christ crucified. Not wisdom, not lofty words, not stored up, unused salt or basket hidden light, but Christ crucified. Christ drawing to himself all those who would bear the cross, all those who would let their light shine, all those who are salt to flavor the world, all those who die to self in Jesus Christ. So here's a question to think of today, beyond who's going to win the Super Bowl. Think of this. Where is your salt needed? Night. That needs your light. Because you are the salt of the earth. You are the light for the world. So be salty. Be bright. Amen.